when Jesus gave up his spirit. The passion continues today in our lives, now, throughout human history. We today continue the sufferings of Christ. To understand that is elementary Christianity. And even though Jesus is surely himself, he is every person as well. And when we look upon him on the cross, it is then that we begin to understand what human life is really like. We know that dying is an experience that awaits all of us. But we also know that before that time, suffering also will be our lot in life. People everywhere must simply face that fact. The sufferings of Jesus that we just heard show us what it is like being in the world today. To be human today is to suffer very much. Even incredibly privileged people know intense suffering despite the very best care they might receive. But there are many other people today who come much closer to the experience of Jesus. Those who die of hunger or of torture or of loneliness, those people almost repeat the experience of Jesus. Jesus suffered most of the most terrible human experiences that we can possibly think of. He was betrayed by a friend, denied by another friend, and then he went through the humiliation of being arrested falsely, the mockery of a kangaroo court, and worst of all, he felt so abandoned within himself to cry out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But this is how Jesus emptied himself, as he had emptied himself throughout his entire life, without claiming any kind of special privileges. He lived his life as most people do, poor, vulnerable, defenseless. And he did not choose this suffering for itself. The suffering that he bore was simply unavoidable, the unavoidable result of the values that he held so dear in his life and the mission that he had accepted from his Father to carry out in his own life work. And as long as he continued to preach the kingdom of God, and as long as he would stay faithful to the truth, then the end result was inevitable. Such a man was ripe for crucifixion. Today, to see reality around us is to see a world as crucifixion. To become aware of the world reality today is to witness crucifixion. Today, so many people died terrible deaths. We simply can no longer pretend that this world is a nice place. And if we are to understand anything at all, we simply must encounter the fact that the passion continues today among all of us in this broken world. Not only the victims of a merciless war, but more than that, we people do not have an answer to the problem of suffering and death, as if it were a problem to be solved like a mathematical equation. We cannot even answer why this good man, Jesus, had to die through such terrible torture of body and spirit. That agony makes no sense in itself. But then we are to remember that nothing today makes our Christianity so odious as the facile acceptance of the suffering that is going on today in this world. True Christians must simply feel overwhelmed today that so many of our sisters and brothers are suffering around us in the very same way that Jesus did. And today it is not adequate any longer to say this is God's will, or that someday these people will be rewarded in heaven. That will not do any longer for the followers of Christ crucified. We today must allow the fact of the world's passion to come before us. There's no doubt that there are dark years ahead of us, and things will become much worse before they become better. We cannot allow this reality to go past without understanding it is the passion of Christ once more, and we are part of it. We will never grasp the meaning of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, unless we begin to grasp that they are ours and we cannot escape them. To remain faithful to God's word, Jesus underwent persecution. He allowed others to strike him without any kind of retaliation because of the confidence that he had in the Father. That was the approach that Jesus took. And that kind of confidence in the Father led the Father to raise him up. It led to the conviction of those first Christians that Jesus is Lord. That is a term they called him when they expressed their faith in his resurrection. Then they said, Jesus is Lord. But you see, the faith of Easter does not come easy. And if it does, we should begin to question it. It might mean that we really do not take the suffering and the death of Jesus seriously enough, or that we people today have simply closed our eyes to the suffering of the members of the human family around us. It's quite possible that we people today have decided to remain isolated, out of sight and out of mind, of the wretched people of the world. And yet those people are flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. We are no better than they. We just happen to be better off. We must not forget that the affirmation of Easter was not at all easy for those first Christians. Their faith in the risen Jesus was wrung out of an agonizing experience. Before they were able to come to Easter faith, those people, disciples of Jesus, had to go through terrible suffering themselves. And they tasted the bitterness of Jesus' death on the cross and knew the ruin of all their hopes. They were placed in total darkness. But it was only on those kind of ruins that their Easter faith was built. And it is only through our pain that we ourselves will never discover: freedom. Christianity always has to do with suffering and with death. Our Christianity always approaches these very grim realities head on. But then it does not trust that death has the last word. Christianity dares to trust that life has the last word always. And as we begin to understand the mystery a little bit of death and resurrection in our lives, we develop the perception that our life is a good gift from our God, that it is possible to live a whole lifetime in a moment, in a day, in a week. It depends on our awareness of the meaning of life and how precious it is. Precious, as we learn in some way to expect and demand no more of life than what can be given to us in a single moment. Perhaps you say that is a hard way to live, but it is also a good way to live. To be able to affirm and to take each moment of life for whatever it is worth, that happens to strike so close to the very heart of the mystery of the suffering and the death and the resurrection. It may not seem like enough, but consider, if life is a gift, which it is a gift that will continue in ways that we cannot even imagine in what we call paradise or the New Jerusalem. And it is the gift of our faith, the gift of trust and confidence that we have in the Father, that assures us that someday we too will be raised up.